morning, Ebenezer family and friends. It is just so good to be back together again. Aren't you glad that you're safe? Well, we've got an announcement. As you can see beside me, we have a church app. Yay! Yes, finally, we have a church app. This is going to help us to connect with one another. Just a lot of exciting features that'll be within that. Especially if you log on, you'll be able to get notifications. You may ask, how do I get this app? All you have to do is go to ebcnc.com. ebcnc.com. At the top, you'll see some icons. You'll see icons like Facebook and Twitter. And then you'll see a little phone icon, or it looks like a watch to me. You click on that and you'll get the directions. If you go all the way down, if you miss it at the top, all the way at the bottom, there's another row of icons too. And you'll see Facebook, Twitter, and then you'll see that little phone app or that little, looks like a watch. You click on it and you can get the app. Want you to really, really pass that along, let your family and friends. That way you can really stay connected with the things that are going on at Ebenezer. We're just thankful for what the Lord has done. Some may say, why choose to undo it or pass it out via our website? There's a lot that's going on that has changed within the last 2 weeks with social media, a lot of lockdowns on Apple side and Android side. So this is the quickest way that we can get it out to our church family and friends, and we can start using features like the prayer wall. We can put our testimonies directly in that. Also, we'll be able to listen to our sermons and also the services in a podcast way and download it. So there's some exciting features there. And you'll be able to link your Tithely app. Many of you are giving online. We thank you for that. You can do it right through your app now, and it'll ask you for those steps too. Don't forget about also on our website at ebcnc.com. We've got all kinds of things, calendar of events. We've got so many different teachings that are there to encourage you. So please, please stay connected with that. And now you can do it through your app. We've got our Monday Bible studies, Tuesday Bible studies, Wednesday Bible studies, and we have Share Your Testimony. We have that line 336-734-9174. So you can call in, you can pray for the services, you can give your testimony, you can also do a video uploads of any testimonies you have. And this just gives us a way of connecting with one another and being able to hear your voice or see your face and just have a witness of what the Lord is doing in our lives. Please continue to interact. We see you on those chats. Good morning. Hello. We love you. Just comments. Hallelujahs. Amen. Just keeping us connected. And also reach out to your loved ones. Call them. Text them. Let them know, hey, God is still in charge. Let's read our giving scripture, 2 Corinthians 9:7. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. 2 Corinthians 9:8, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. 2 Corinthians 9:9, as it is written, he is dispersed abroad, he is given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Now notice this 10th and 11th verse. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food, supply and multiply the seed you have sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, while you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. Isn't the Lord good? He is worthy, worthy, so worthy of all the praise. Well, at this time, we've got someone that has called in and given us a prayer today, and I want to let him pray. So we're going to ask our minister, Reverend Jeffers, if he would give us a prayer at this time.
Lord, we thank you for allowing us to see another day's journey. We thank you, Lord, because you watched over us all night long. Now, Heavenly Father, as the disciples met Jesus, they said, Father, teach us to pray. When you pray, we should say, Our Father, who art in heaven. Lord, thank you for our pastor. We want to pray that you give him strength, him and his family, for doing the work that God has called him to do. Keep him, your arm of protection around him, Lord. Give him strength from day to day. Then, Heavenly Father, pray for the Ebenezer Church family. Pray for all our churches throughout the world. Father, we want to pray for this nation. We pray that it would get on one accord. Pray for the sick, killing the deceased, Lord. Lord, just guide us through these trials and tribulations. Lord, we want to pray for those that are in the hospital, the bereaved families. Pray, Lord, for all our rescue people that's doing the best they can during this time of trials and tribulation. Father, put your arm of protection around all our nurses and doctors. Lord, as they try to protect people and minister them. Now, Lord, as we go through this day, continue to send your guardian angels to watch over us. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Have you been blessed as we've been taking this journey through 2 Thessalonians? I pray you have, as we have been looking at the return of Christ, as I see so many things that are going on in our world. And as I taught on last Sunday, that literally the scriptures are just jumping out full of life. But before we go any further in this book of 2 Thessalonians, let's go in a word of prayer. Father, I just thank you so much for who you are. Thank you for being a wonderful provider. Lord, thank you for taking care of us. I pray for those that are looking and listening in right now. If there's someone that doesn't know you, would you help them to confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart that, Father, you've raised them from the dead and you said they would be saved. Let them know it's by grace through faith and not of themselves. It's a gift from you. Help them to receive that gift. Now, Lord, as I approach this word, I ask you to forgive me of my sins and cleanse me of all unrighteousness. Therefore, Holy Spirit, I welcome you. You are our teacher today. So would you guide us? Would you teach us? Would you lead us into all truth? Would you make this word so plain, so easy to be understood that even a small child can be transformed to be like you? Thank you, God, for calling us for such a time as this. We give you praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I want you to focus on 2 Thessalonians 2:15, as we've been progressing through this journey through 2 Thessalonians and thinking about all that God has done for us. 2 Thessalonians 2:15, therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or our epistle. Listen to that again, 2 Thessalonians 2:15, therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or our epistle. I want to speak from the title today, I Won't Let Go. I won't let go. Any amens out there that can identify? We will not let go. As we've been progressing on through this from last time, we were in 2 Thessalonians 2:3. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition. And we talked about that free fall. Just some points to help us to transition to today. Are you ready? The falling away or the apostasy, the world out of control, lawlessness, and choose truth. The time frame that we've been in as Paul the Apostle is being led of the Spirit is around 52 AD. And we've been dealing with that word parousia. That means the second coming of Christ. But also we taught that parousia, just as a Greek word, just means someone who is coming second. And sometimes it's even applied to the Antichrist. And we talked about that on last Sunday, that the spirit of Antichrist is here. And we can see our country and our world changing so quickly. This book is all about our growth. Gives us instructions as we witness the Thessalonians as they grow through persecution and times of struggle, to know that God is with us. And as we understand the Antichrist is on the rise, we understand that spirit, as we have seen masses in some sense lose their mind and follow lies instead of the truth of God. And this has been building up. This is not just a political party I'm dealing with. I'm talking about even within the churches. For years and years, lies have been built up and people have been swayed, and that's that apostasy. And so let's go back today and look at this second chapter, because Paul laid out some heavy things on last Sunday as we were going through that. And so now he begins to build to a climax to let us know that believers, even though darkness is thick, that God's light is going to shine more and more. And we're going to talk about some of those benefits. Let's pick up 2 Thessalonians 2:13. I love this verse. But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. Here's our first point. I love this. Chosen. Notice within that scripture, Paul brings out, he said, we're going to give thanks, even though the spirit of Antichrist, even though there's struggles, I'm giving thanks because there's some benefits that are connected with the believer. And it sums up in that point, we are chosen. We have the truth. Paul is excited. He is excited because he knows that God is working within the believers. And some of you know, during this time of COVID, this has been stresses. It's been different for us, but God has been growing us. We've been getting the word more. We've been praying more. We've been praising. We are learning more and more about God's immense grace and mercy. We are chosen. We are the saints that God has called out of darkness into the marvelous light. I'm going to talk about that. 1 Peter 2:9 said, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous life, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Isn't that good? I won't let go to know that God has chosen us, that we are a special people. I know there's some folks that are going out there feeling lonely because of this social distances and mask, and we can't go out to the places we used to, but notice God has you. God is hugging you. He's embracing you, letting you know it's going to be all right. As we look closer at this scripture, Woodrow Kroll, he actually brings out some things that are magnified within. He says obligation, thanksgiving, brotherly love, the love of God, God's choosing the Thessalonians for salvation, first fruit, salvation, sanctification by the Holy Spirit, faith, truth, God's calling, the apostolic preaching of the gospel, the attainment of glory, and Jesus Christ as our Lord. Now, that's worth shouting about. Let's look at this next verse, 2 Thessalonians 2:14. To which he called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Here's another point. The glory of God. The glory of God. Dan Darby, he actually captures our transformation in this wonderful hymn. It says, and is it so, I shall be like thy son? Is this the grace which he for me has won? Father of glory, thought beyond all thought, in glory to his own blessed likeness brought. Isn't that good that we are being transformed to his likeness? We are being taken from a darkness to light. And that's what this glory means. It means to shine. It refers to the Shekinah glory. As we get closer to God, the more he shines in us. Remember what happened to Jesus on that mountain where he was transfigured. We actually get a physical picture, Matthew 17:2, and he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. I won't let go. As we continue to hold on to the Lord and seek his face, literally, we begin to shine. You may have heard that when women get pregnant, sometimes you'll say, man, they're shining, because there's life on the inside of them. And as we get close to the Lord, actually, we shine on the inside. Our spirit begins brighter, and people can see something different, twinkles in our eye. They can see that we have been changed. I won't let go. Look at 2 Thessalonians 2:15. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or our epistle. Here's another point. Stand fast. Stand fast. Now within this scripture, this stand fast means to dig in. It means that when adversity is coming against you, that you are not going to move. You're going to get your foundation strong, and we know our foundation is in Jesus Christ. Theologian McDonald, he helps us to peer into the deeper meaning of the scripture. He says the important thing to notice here is that the only traditions which are reliable and authoritative are the inspired utterances of the apostles. Jesus condemned the scribes and Pharisees for nullifying the commandments of God by their traditions, Matthew 15:6. And Paul warned the Colossians against the traditions of men, Colossians 2:8. The traditions we should hold are the great truths which have been handed over to us in the sacred scriptures. Now this is important, because we have so many traditions, and traditions don't necessarily are not bad, but we need to examine our traditions. We need to look at them and say, you know what, is this worth keeping or not? And most importantly, we need to make sure that the traditions that we're really willing to fight over are in the scriptures, that they are right in line with the word of God, because some traditions have grown within churches and other things that have no base within the word of God. I'll bring up one. I grew up at a wonderful church, and during Resurrection Day or Easter time, we used to always have the egg hunts, and I'm not putting down egg. It was great fun. But I grew up thinking that egg hunts was a tradition that was in the Bible, that somehow Jesus had said it or the apostles had said it. But when I got to the point of being able to read for myself, I found out there was no Easter egg hunt nowhere in the 66 book. And so oftentimes we need to look at our traditions and decide, hey, God, what is in the word? What should we do? This is important because Paul the apostle actually had to correct the Galatian church in Galatians 4:8. He says this: "But then indeed, when you did not know God, you served those which by nature are not gods." Galatians 4:9, "But now after you have known God, or rather are known by God, how is it that you turn again to the weak and beggarly elements to which you desire again to be in bondage?" Galatians 4:10 and 11, "You observe days and months and seasons and years. I'm afraid for you, lest I have labored for you in vain." I won't let go. We must get in the Bible. We must study. We must know what's real. And in this time of COVID-19, these struggles that we've been going through, I pray that you've been digging in and you've been reflecting and asking the Lord to make you more like Him, asking the Lord to grow you more. And the Word of God, that is our foundation. We need to allow God's Word to get in us and get understanding that we can share it with other people, but most importantly, apply it to our lives as we see the second coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ getting closer and closer. We need to reflect who He is. Look at 2 Thessalonians 2:16. "Now may our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace." I won't let go. Here's another point: everlasting love and peace. Everlasting love and peace. I want you to say that. Would you say that with me? Everlasting love and peace. This is what God is doing on the inside. The Apostle Paul goes in for prayer for the saints. Yes, he's so excited that even in these stressful times that God is doing something wonderful. And he's saying, as we see the stressful times, we don't have to get depressed or down, but we actually get excited. It's because we know we're getting closer to the finish line. I won't let go. This is not a time to slack off. This is not a time to get lazy. This is a time to press in, to lean in. Any Olympian, they will let you know, in any run or any race, when you get close to that finish line, you want to lean into it. You want to give it your all. You want to push past 100%. And this is our season and time that we lean in closer and allow the Holy Spirit to work on the inside of us. There ought to be some hallelujahs. As I think about all the Lord has done for us in these last 10 months and 11 months, think about all the hills we've had to climb and the valleys that we've gone through. Hadn't God been good? I won't let go. Let me get this final verse, 2 Thessalonians 2:17. "Comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work." Here's our last point: a firm foundation. A firm foundation. Yeah, that's what God is doing in us. He's building us up. He's making sure that it goes deep into the ground, that no matter how the winds blow, no matter what comes at us, that we're still standing. Isn't God good? Some of you know, I love, there's a toy. It's called the Weeble Wobble. And the reason I like the Weeble Wobble, I actually got it on my desk and I've got one in the house, because the Weeble Wobble is this picture or this item, and you can like kick it over and down and it'll fall down, but it always comes up. It has a weighted center. And that's the way the Christian is. You can punch at us and we can cry sometime, and we can lose some loved ones. We can get sick, but please understand, you can't keep us down, because it's not really about us. We won't let go. It's about the Holy Spirit that's on the inside of us. And we know that God has our back. David expressed this as he cries out to God in Psalm 37:23. He said, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. I have been young," are there any amens out there, "and now I'm old, yet I've not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging for bread." There ought to be some hallelujahs. Aren't you glad that God, he is truly with us? He'll never leave us nor forsake us. I won't let go. As I try to pull this together, I remember there was a time when I was in the military, and I had gone through basic training, or about midway during basic training, and I got an injury. And the injury occurred because my shoes weren't sized properly, and a callus began to grow up on the bottom of my foot. And it was immense pain. Anytime that I would run or walk or stand, I'd be in pain. But I was halfway through, and I was getting closer to graduating. And I had to make a decision. I had to make a decision. Am I going to continue with the pain and graduate on time, or go to the infirmary and have to sit out and then go back through a partial part of basic training? And I made a decision. I remember praying, God, help me through this. Help me through the pain. And we would run. I'd be in so much pain. But the way I got through the pain was to know that there was a finish day. Yeah, there was a graduation day. And I realized when I ran with the pain and I walked with the pain, if I could just push through graduation day, it would be okay. And I remember as we almost got there, it was like the last weekend, and they would give us leave to go off of the base. And I decided, I'm not going off the base. I'm going to just sit within my dorm, and I'm going to just wait, and I'm going to rest my foot, because I'm going to get to graduation. And I said to myself, I won't let go. And I want to encourage you, Saint, during this season and this time, don't let go. Even though there's pain, even though there's struggle, even though there's some times that we don't understand, you got to say, I'm not going to let go. And the reason we won't let go is because Jesus has already given us example. Aren't you glad that he walked the streets of Galilee, healing the sick and raising the dead? But he didn't stop there. He goes to the Garden of Gethsemane, and there he prays for us. He showed us not to let go. He comes to the point and said, Father, not my will, but let thy will be done. He's betrayed by Judas Iscariot. He's beaten all night long. He makes his way up the Via Della Rosa carrying a crossbar on his back, but he did not give up. Aren't you glad he goes to the top of Calvary? There he allows them to put nails in his hands and nails in his feet. Aren't you glad that our Savior did not give up? And there on the cross of Calvary, he carried our sins and bore our griefs there. His grace and mercy is shown. He told us that we don't have to give up by showing his life on the cross. He dies on the cross of Calvary. And notice what? They put him in a cold tomb, but 3 days later, he gets up with all power and all glory. And because he got up, he has all authority. And I'm so glad to know Hebrews 7:24 says that he, because he continues forever as an unchangeable priesthood, therefore he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Please know he is praying for us. Don't give up, saints. We've got to trust in the Lord. God is walking with us. So Romans 8:31, as I pull this all together, I want you to hear this. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge to God's against God's elect? It is God who justifies. It is he who condemns. It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Are there some saints to say hallelujah out there? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Are there some hallelujah? You say, I'm more than a conqueror. I won't let go. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I won't let go. Why? Because he's our everything. He's paid the price. All we have to do is just trust him. Trust him, saint, in this season. As the Thessalonian church was going through, Paul encouraged them, God has this. He's doing a beautiful thing on the inside of us. In the same respect, in this season, don't let go. Don't get distracted. Get deeper into the scriptures. Pray more. Seek his face. Because this is a wonderful time to share who Jesus is. If you don't know him today, I pray that today is your day. That the light comes on. That you realize that, yeah, even in dark times, there is a tremendous light, and his name is Jesus. You may say, how do I get to know him? Confess
with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead and said, you will be saved. It's by grace through faith and not of yourself. It's a gift from him. Receive that gift. I beg you, receive that gift to the saints that already know. I want you to be encouraged. I want you to lean in. I want you to press in. You are chosen. We are not going to let go. Jesus has paid the price for us. We will not let go. The Holy Spirit is on the inside of us, and he's doing a wonderful work in us. I just thank God for knowing who Jesus is. Aren't you glad about it? Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your son. There's so much that's in my heart right now, but I thank you for saving us. And I pray, Lord, that even now you're saving even more people, adding to your body. Let the day be their day. God, help us to be strong in you, to lean into you. I've said that over and over, to lean into you, God, in these last days as we look for your return. We just give you praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
I'm gonna lay down my burdens down by,
down by the riverside,
down by,
down by the riverside,
down by the riverside. I'm gonna lay down my burdens down by,
down by the riverside.
Study.
We serve an awesome God. Aren't you glad? We don't have to give up. Jesus has paid the price for us, and he's praying for us right now. Before we close out, I just want to lift up the bereaved families, specifically Mother Lois Curtis. Her husband passed away, and we will actually have a service today, a graveside service at 2 o'clock at Ebenezer. And we just want to pray for her, just pray for the entire family. Her husband, Harrison Lewis Curtis, passed. And so some of you know him, grew up with him, went to school with him. So lift up Mother Curtis as we go through this time of bereavement with her. Also continue to lift up the Dorothy Dix family and their loss. So much has gone on. But you know what? Our God is faithful. Keep holding on to him. See you soon.